welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversation for practical Christian living. Today we're on episode number 25, and we are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nuremberg. And today we're going to be talking about what it means to be persistent in prayer, or perseverance in prayer. I think one of the Bible verses that comes to mind immediately when I think of perseverance is that verse in Luke, or those two verses in Luke, and I'm just going to read it. It's Luke 11, 9 through 10. And it says, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and those who seek find. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." We're called as believers, as followers of the Lord, to persevere in prayer, to pray. It's more so than just asking for random things, but committing to something. Right. There's that idea. Can you talk about what, first of all, what is this verse talking about within the context? And then what is the Lord talking about in terms of perseverance?
Okay. The verse itself, there's an illustration right before that of the man who goes and needs bread, mm-hmm. goes out at night, and he knocks on the door, and the guy doesn't want to open the door, but he keeps on knocking. So that the context of the verse is in terms of something that a person needs to have, and he's determined to have, and he's focusing on, and he continues to focus on that until he receives. So that's it's not about praying about things or maintaining a prayer life or anything along those lines. It's about particularly going to God and trusting him to meet a particular need. So that's the context of the thing. And then it's a tremendous verse because it's one with great promise. Everyone who does keep on knocking, if persists, keeps on knocking, they all have the door open, that everybody who keeps on seeking will find. All right. So it's that, but it's very positive on that. And it's a feature of prayer that we do need to spend some time thinking about, because promise is there that if you keep on going. Now, a problem comes up in the comparison of passages. Because earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, don't use meaningless repetition. Don't just keep on saying things. All right? So we have to separate this persistence from somehow the fact that we can sort of badger God into doing something. So that's not where he's going. Because in both cases, he says, wouldn't a father give a gift to his son? So in both cases, there is this thought that there's no reluctance on the part of God to answer prayer, that the issue is it rests somewhere else, and that leads us in our own consideration of the word to a question, because the Lord doesn't answer that question. What is the resistance there? Why doesn't God answer it right away? What are we doing that stops a God who is on our side from doing what we're asking him immediately? Why do we have to ask and keep on asking? And that the Lord doesn't really answer. He just tells you to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
He tells you it's not because the Father's not with you. It's not because he isn't listening. But why is it? All right. And so, as we are looking at that, we do come to a bit of a
like a crossroads in our understanding of, like, okay, what is the heart? But I think going a little bit further back in the context is in Luke, we also see Jesus, he gives us the Lord's Prayer early on. And so it's kind of the two go together, which would assume that it's a daily prayer. It's this almost this continual attitude of reliance on the Lord.
I think that's part of the way the Lord is going about it. They ask him, teach us to pray. teaches to do. It's late in their ministry, so this is really interesting because the Lord's already taught a lot about prayer, but they ask him, and so he says, and he takes him back to what he taught before about the Lord's Prayer. It's a shortened version, but it's still the Lord's Prayer. And a key feature of that prayer, which you've noted, is that the prayer is a daily prayer. By itself, it implies persistence. And it mentions a number of things that you persistently are asking God to do, right? Because in there, you're persistently asking God to glorify his name, that he would be glorified. Hallowed be your name, right? It's a shortened version. It does include the idea that daily we're going to have our needs met. Daily we're going to be forgiven. And I think one that's very important in our day to remember is daily we need to be delivered from the evil one every day. So that in one sense, the emphasis then is on, keep this up. They ask how to pray. Okay, here's the core of what you should pray, but here's the way you should go about it. This should be a persistent thing. You've got to ask. You've got to keep on asking. I think in one sense, and we had talked about this before we started, but in one sense, he's thinking about a maintenance feature of life on the one side. That I think of it with regards to the students at the school. There are prayers that need to be offered for them every single day. Same prayer, all right, for the school, for my children, my grandchildren. I offer certain prayers on a regular basis. It's not because I see a problem. It's because the Lord told me to pray every day that his name would be glorified, or he would be honored in their lives, that his kingdom would come in their lives, that their provisions would be made, that they would be clean day after day, that they would be kept. So in a sense, you're on one side, it's a maintenance type of issue. But it seems that when he gets to the picture, he doesn't go to a maintenance picture. He goes to a crisis picture. And it's the man who lacked the bread was kind of in a social crisis. I mean, it was very embarrassing. To be honest, that's all it would be, is very embarrassing, but it would be very embarrassing. And you lived in a world where your conduct would be remembered, and your small world, this is important to him, that he has failed to be to another friend what he should have been. So he's very serious about this. So he's facing a crisis. So there is that dimension of the prayer.
I think one of the things is totally not where we were going to go, but I do have a question for you about it. And it's so often in like a crisis situation, there is like some demonic activity often behind, and the Lord, even here, it says, lead us not into temptation, which is like, keep us from the evil one. It's like, you could translate it that way. I don't feel like we talk a ton about that aspect of, praying. Could we just talk a little bit about it? Because I think there is an aspect in which even the Lord, he's combated the evil one, the devil, literally, in his own ministry. But also, you see this pattern throughout the New Testament. The apostles, they prayed for the churches that like the Lord would keep them, and they like. And obviously, there's this element of keeping them from the evil one. And when we're praying for people, when we're persevering in prayer, what is that? How does it look like to pray against the evil one in that? Sorry, because this is not at all where you're going, but people have questions about
that. And that's a very important aspect of it. I think, again, if you go back to the prayer, I've got it memorized from Matthew, so it's an expanded version, all right? So he shortens it, but some pieces aren't there. This is the way I should be praying every day, okay? This is my general outlook in any circumstance I'm praying for, okay? This is whether it's the school or my family or the nation or missionary. This is the way you pray. The first thing you're doing is praying that God's name is going to be honored, okay? The reason God wants us to pray that way is prayer is part of your life. He's asking us to pray about this because he's asking us to join him. That's the wonder of prayer, is that God, who can do it himself, asks us to join him in accomplishing his purpose. So we come in there, so we're determined on that. Okay, so we're going for this. We're going for the kingdom of God in those lives. Mm-hmm. All right? In order to get that done, he puts everything in place here. I'm going to need provision today, but there's something else I'm going to need. If I am going to go out into a world which is in the control of the devil, mm-hmm. right? That's what it says. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. Now, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but because of the fall of man and because of what we've done, society now rests in his hands. That's Paul tells us that when we were unconverted, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the sons of disobedience. All right, that's happening out there. Now, God can keep us from him. Mm-hmm. But here's a mystery that comes up in the scriptures that we have to face. God could save people without me, but he asked me to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And in ministering to them, I have to, I pay a price for ministering to people. Mm-hmm. I struggle with them. Some of them don't come along. Some people kick you. Some people go along with you. But if you get somebody who's in real trouble and you're trying to help them out of that trouble, you're going to go through mm-hmm. some troubles. Yeah. That's what I consider to be what Paul was talking about when he says, I want to be in the fellowship of the Lord's sufferings. Mm. Fellowship of his sufferings in moving things from here to here. God could do it without us, mm-hmm. but he doesn't do it without us by his own choice. So he moves us to pray. He moves us to act. Prayer is one of those actions. If we get involved in that, we are going to be targeted. It's just mm-hmm. that simple. We have now joined an army. That's the way he describes it in the end of the end of Ephesians 6. Mm-hmm. That we're in a war now.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you're in a war. And whether or not, again, the Lord gives the victory, that's true. But he gives the victory as we trust him. It's just, that's also true. And both sides are in the scriptures. We don't want to take all the responsibility to ourselves, but we're in here with him, and we've had to fellowship with him in this fight. And that's where the prayer that will be kept from the evil one comes up. Because we're going to be targeted. My family's going to be targeted. My work's going to be targeted. I mean, if and this is where the big if comes in the prayer, this all depends first on that my goal is to honor God and have bring his kingdom to pass. Mm. So if this is true, then I can count on this as true. So I'm told by the Lord to pray this.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
That I should be kept from the evil one. And of course, that would include everybody that I have responsibility for in prayer.
And I think that's also a good thing to remember, because it puts the protection in the hands of God, because he's the one who, because later on, Paul talks about that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers. And so there's this, the idea that he's the one who puts this shield of protection around us. And there's that reliance both for our physical needs, but also for our spiritual one and trusting him. So I think that, I hope that was helpful. Yeah. And I think another thing, question that could arise is, Jesus says, pray your kingdom come, as in the Father's kingdom come, God's kingdom come. That is such a huge part of persevering in prayer, because it's his will, not our will. But how do we either determine between our desires and his will, and then also how do we align our heart, our will, with his will? How do we go about doing that?
Okay, well, the first part, it comes from that prayer that, first of all, I make the determination on a daily basis. I think that prayer is just really important to come back to daily, that I am going to accomplish the purpose of God. Mm-hmm. Right? We've said it with a lot of things. Paul in Romans 6. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to God. To be alive to God is not only that we have the chance to know God, but we've now been brought into the kingdom of God. We're part of a program. The program is going on and has been going on some for way back, but I get to participate in that. Okay, so I have to align myself to that in a general way. Right? That's the first step. If I don't have a determination, if I haven't come to the place where my heart is given to doing that will, then I don't think you're going to know. Yeah. I mean, no matter what kind of advice we give, right? Now, once I am thinking that way, I then look at my life and my circumstances completely differently. I am now concerned, where's God in all this? Where is he? Where is he in my life? Where is he in my family's life? Mm-hmm. Where is he in, again, for the school here, where is he in the student's life? What has to happen? And again, it's at that point, as I'm looking at it from God's perspective, and I'm staying in the Word of God, I'll keep, again, as we said over and over again, I need to be staying in the Word of God so I stay godly in my thinking. And just covenant. Then what does God want? What's he after? What is happening to that person? That's when I think you begin. You can't say it comes in a certain way.
Yeah.
All right. I don't give any formula for it, but if your heart's lined up with it and you're sticking with the Word of God and you're sticking with the Word of God in order you might know, you're going to begin to see, hey, this is happening here.
Yeah.
That's not God.
Yeah.
And then there has to be this, you know, then that's where we focus.
Yeah, well, and then that's where we focus more on our, on persevering. Like, this is, yeah, like right. You said, like, Lord, you have to do this. I think asking that question, I've heard you ask, like, what is the Lord doing? Where is he at work?
Right.
Okay, well, it seems like he's at work over here, and then, and following through, like, okay, then we need to align ourselves with this,
right.
Because God is over here doing something, and right. And obviously then we should trust him in that area. Right. And I think that also kind of goes to a little bit of like question of like discernment.
Right.
Because like if God is over here working, then he, like, discerning what is the will of God in those areas. But I guess my other question is, how do you know whether or not it's your will or God's will? Because some of us are really strong will, and you can almost will yourself like, no, this is the Lord's will, but it really isn't. Like, how do you, is there any cautions to that? Like,
yeah. It's a good question.
Yeah.
And we all face it, you know, because if I'm going to persevere in prayer for this, how do I know this is from God?
Yeah.
All right. I think the first step, I mean, the first thing is it's a learned thing. That's what I believe. That you keep studying the Word of God. You keep committing yourself over and over again. Again, you commit yourself by every day presenting yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. And then you will learn. And I would say, and I think it's one of those facts that we all have to face, that sometimes we learn by blowing it. We were sure that God was going to do this, and he didn't do it. When I was first starting, that was very discouraging if I couldn't get it right.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it right, if I prayed the wrong way, and if it didn't happen, well, then should I go on? I was kind of dumb, man, all the time. It's just one of those features of life we tend to at the beginning. But after a while, you figure out that, yeah, I am kind of dumb. And if I'm going to know the purposes of God, I'm going to have to walk with him, and I'm going to have to admit that really wasn't God.
Yeah.
That was not. And I have to have the humility at that point to say, okay, what do I learn from all that? And after a while, I think as you keep doing that over a long period of time, and you watch where you were right, where did God answer, then you begin to learn. I can't say what you'll learn because that's your walk, yeah. My walk, you know. How are we going to figure it out? I think it's just a learned thing.
Yes,
yeah, that comes to pass.
Process of abiding in the Lord, right. Like staying daily in His Word, but also staying daily, like through prayer, like right. That we are in His presence, and there's like that abiding aspect. I think, that's helpful because it can be challenging, like on the, especially on the front of like, what is the will of God? And we've talked about it in like those right. podcasts that I think we did too, I think. Anyways, on that aspect. But when it comes to asking and keeping on asking, sometimes it can be also challenging because it seems like there isn't an answer. Something doesn't come to pass right. When we are praying to that end. And there can be discouragement. And I think you talked a little bit about that, like having humility in that aspect of discerning the will of God. But what would you say to the person who's maybe discouraged? They've been asking and nothing's coming to pass.
Without knowing it, without any,
yeah, you don't have any example.
A question would come up again. If the person's in there, again, first of all, that's where we go back to our basic principles of prayer. Mm-hmm. The God we're addressing knows our need. Mm. Okay. He knows what has to be done.
Yeah.
All right. Second thing, He also is for us. Mm-hmm. Assuming that we have committed ourselves into His hands, He's for us. So that even if I'm inaccurate in my prayers, that is, in my particulars of the request, mm-hmm. right, I can still trust Him. Mm. I can't get discouraged about that. But I want to know, because I want to know how to trust God for individuals who are in trouble.
Right? Yeah.
How are we going to address this? But I can't get discouraged, and I can't let failure with regards to a question in prayer, seeming failure with regards to that, alter my attitude towards God. That's where the danger comes. Mm-hmm. Because he does love. Your Father knows.
Yeah.
All right. And sometimes, again, and this is where, it's my own, it's the way I believe Paul was addressing us in Romans chapter 8, that we don't know how to pray as we ought. Mm-hmm. At our best, we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Yeah.
But when I am, we'll go back to that verse to expound, but when I am praying and I'm concerned, and the issue there is God's ability to save and the curse that's real, mm-hmm. and the collision of those two things, God's ability, that's what prayer is all about. In intercession, there is a purpose of God to be fulfilled, and there is a curse on the situation, and you are grappling with that.
Yeah.
I do believe that if you grapple with that, even if I miss it completely, the Spirit of God changes it. He hears the prayer. I just believe that because He hears our heart. And then we might find out later on that, oh, yeah, it was answered. It just wasn't answered the way I thought it would be answered. All right. I think that, again, people are not too big on the law of first mention. But anyway,
yeah.
It's one that I've always found to be very helpful. Mm-hmm. The very first intercession of the Bible. Abraham asked for the deliverance of Sodom because he was concerned about Lot. He got up one morning and Sodom was in ruins. He does not know that his prayer was answered because it says in the word there that, and the Lord remembered Abraham and took Lot out. So the prayer that the heart of Abraham's prayer was answered. Mm-hmm. The details of his request were not answered.
Yeah.
But God heard him.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that we need to keep that. That's the first intercession of the Bible. Mm. First time we have a prayer, it was in one sense a failure, another sense it was successful. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we don't have any record that Abraham ever had any contact with Lot. Hmm. He may never have known what happened. Again, it probably wasn't that way, but we don't have them coming back together again.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that has to be.
Yeah. I think that's so helpful, because I think when the Lord is, he sees our heart.
Right.
And to remember that and to remind ourselves of that, both as an encouragement, but also a promise, he knows us and he knows the desires of our heart. And if we're praying in according with his will, the details, he'll work those out.
Right.
And but the heart is what, and like, I love that example of Abraham, because his heart ultimately was for Lot's safety,
right?
Lot's protection
and God's glory in that.
And yeah. And yeah. He did. And he pulled him out and he glorified himself. So I think that's a helpful reminder. And I think that's an encouragement also, that going back to the kind of the beginning, is that the Lord uses us in, to accomplish his will.
Right.
And there's that verse in Ezekiel. We don't have to go over too much of it, but I think it's a helpful reminder, because it's a time of crisis. But the verse communicates that the Lord is seeking people to stand in the gap, to petition, right, to intercede. And in a way, Abraham is a great example of that,
right,
instance of interceding, of standing in the gap. But also, I feel like that's an encouragement to us, that God is seeking people to intercede. He's seeking people to, right, pray in those really tough circumstances. And the details may not be accomplished the way that we view them, but God sees our heart and he's, right, encouraged by that. And we should be encouraged, right, by that.
Right. And that's a tremendous example, because it goes right down what we were saying. Mm-hmm. Why did God not find a person?
Yeah,
it's a long passage. He doesn't find a person because nobody in all of the categories, it's a pre-alliterated message here, the people, the priests, the princes, the prophets, they all had a role. They should have been involved in the things of God, but they weren't. That was the condition of the day. They were all selfish. So the priests were selfish. The prophets are selfish. The princes are selfish. And then, of course, the people themselves are selfish, so that nobody, when this was happening, was conditioned to a place where they saw this big gap that had to be filled. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anybody because nobody cared.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, as we're thinking about it, if we want to prepare our hearts to be involved in this, then the thing is, we have to come back day after day to that place where what matters in my life is his glory. Not my well-being today. Mm-hmm. And I have to pray that, say, I'm praying that for you. I pray that for all my grandchildren. That, hey, what matters in your life isn't your happiness. What matters is his glory. What matters is his kingdom comes. What matters is that somehow his purposes be done there. And then you pray that if you can keep your heart in that condition with respect to things, I believe God will point out to you where to pray. Mm-hmm. I think he just brings it. He'll say, focus here. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying a voice. I'm just saying it. You will see that, oh, wow, if this takes place, this is a disaster. This can't take place. If this took place, God's will could be accomplished, so that he turns us into that. Mm-hmm. But it depends on where we're at the beginning. Yeah. He can't do that if I'm thinking about what's best for me today, and how am I going to enjoy the day, and how am I going to, you know, and how can I, you know, how can my friends become famous or be happy or whatever.
Yeah.
I've got to be aligned with God's purposes. Mm-hmm.
Aligning. And so I think what you're saying is, like, aligning our hearts to the Lord is one of the first steps in persevering in prayer. Right. Amen. Because if our heart is not aligned to him, then not really persevering in prayer at all, because you can't, because you're ultimately after your own glory. You're after something other than his will.
Right.
And when we persevere in prayer, ultimately we're praying towards his end, and we're trying to align our desires and our will with his will. I hope that's encouraging. Do you have anything else you want to add on that?
I think that's the big thing. It's a wonderful thing. He's asked us in our little circumstances to join him in what he's building.
Yeah. And I think, and that also is like one other point is that we in our lives, we don't have a lot of, most of our lives are pretty simple.
Right.
Yeah. They're not super complicated. I mean, they're complicated to us, but ultimately they don't have world impacts.
No.
But that doesn't change the value of the perseverance and the prayer towards the end, towards God's will. And I think we as individuals in our circumstances have the unique ability. We're some of the only people that are really involved in these circumstances. I mean, like most people don't know about our lives or about this or about. And so we have these small circles of, I think you use this like language, small circles of like influence.
Right.
And because of that, we have an obligation. We have a duty to, like, this is where I have influence. And so this is where I'm called to persevere in prayer. Because it can be overwhelming to think of all the things out there that we could persevere in prayer towards that end. But ultimately, most people aren't going to know about, you know, this person's struggle in their life, but maybe three people do. And you happen to be one of those people.
That's true.
And so there's an encouragement there that your life, your prayer life matters because you have the opportunity to influence that person or that circumstance for the glory of God towards his will. And you're one of a few people maybe that have that opportunity. So, so there's an encouragement on both ends. So, anyways, anything else?
No, I think that's a good conclusion because knowing that my life is where God wants me to be and he's put me here and all I have to do is be faithful here.
Yeah.
Just be faithful in that. And great blessing can come from all that. If I will trust him in the very, in the actual circumstances I find myself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So our encouragement to you, I guess, is that look at your own life and persevere where the Lord is at work. Like look at where he's at work and then observe it. And see how in that situation it can further the kingdom of God, how he's at work, and then persevere in prayer in that direction. So, as always, you can listen to all of our previous podcasts everywhere that you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. You can follow us across our social media channels. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you again then.